said,
Amen.
It is good. Doesn't matter how many, doesn't matter if it's full or small, thin or big, big or skinny, funny or sad, whatever it is, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just want to say a quick prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the building that you've provided for us to hold church in. 6929 Day Street, thank you for this building. Lord, we claim it as holy ground for you. We invite the Holy Spirit. You are welcome here to do whatever it is that you want us to do. Father God, we adore you. We love you. We hope that during everything we do that it will be glorification for you. Sweet Jesus, thank you for being born just to die for our sins. We love you and thank you. And just bless each and every person that's here today. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
All right, amen, 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 amen. All right, we're going to read in Ephesians 4. Actually going to do it from the Bible today. This is Paul talking because he had written to the church of Ephesus, is what it's called. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. That's kind of wordy, sorry. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended in He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors. Oh, precious pastor. And teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Shall we all attain the unity of faith and of full knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which begins to the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so he's talking a lot here about us being in unity and building one another up, and that's so important. That's why you come to church. That's why you come to people. I've talked to so many of my friends that, well, you don't have to go to church just to be a good Christian. Okay, I'm not judging you, but it helps to come to church and be with others that have the same beliefs and the same desires as you do, to build one another up. He's also talking about maturing in Christ. We can't stay babies all the time and go, man, God do this for me, God do that for me. You know, we're mature Christians now. None of that being, what do you say, tossed here and there, wandering around half the time. Yes, we are going to slide. I think Baptist, one of their favorite words, are a backsliding. It's just sin. That's all it is. But we're going to fail a lot of times. We are going to sin, because I don't like the word backsliding. And because we're normal, we're human. But the thing of it is, in your mature walk with God, if you start to sin or about a backslide, as people say, he's looking at your heart to see how fast you get back on the road, you know, getting back unto him. We're here to edify one another. We're a body. We're a body. When, like, Dipper's not here, it hurts. When Shelly wasn't here, it hurt. You know, we're all a body. We're supposed to be the bride when he comes back. And, you know, sometimes having few people, we get to really, really know each other and be able to just say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I have an issue with this. I'm having problems with this. And I'm really wanting to sin. I'm getting a lot of attention from somebody else. And it makes me feel good. You know, I'm not attracted to them, but it makes me feel good because they say I'm pretty. Or, yeah, I come home, my wife doesn't have any makeup on. She's laying around all day eating bonbons. She don't give me any attention. And you probably didn't do anything all day. So, and this chick at work, man, she really dresses up. And, whoo, she looks hot, all that. All this stuff goes on because if the enemy can get you at your home, your nucleus, your cell, if he can get you down there, he's got you. Because you're not going to want, you're going to enter into a whole other world out there. One of Kimmy's best friends found out that her husband of 20 years, I think, has been cheating on her. And she had gone through some depression last year, and he said that's why. He couldn't handle her depression. Give me a break. No, you can't justify your sin. There's no justification there. Even when things really, really go bad and really, really hurt you, you can't justify the sin. Now, I'll tell you this. When David died, you know, I kind of gave up for a while. I looked at that bottle of sleeping pills, and my kids went nuts. I said, you know, he should have took me, not David. You know, I've already talked to y'all about that. I wouldn't change the sheets. I wouldn't get in the bed. I lay crossways across the bed. I cried all the time. It was bad. I even smoked cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Just to help me, whatever I could get my hands on, that's what I did. I couldn't take it. I went, God, you have hurt me. I can't do this. I would call the pastor and go, does God just hate me? What have I done? He goes, no, he doesn't hate you. Things just happen to good people. God looks at your situation. He knows everyone's situation in here. Everyone's situation. He sees the beginning. He sees today. And he sees in the future. When we're all 99 years old, when we die and go home. At least I hope that's how it is right now. You never know. Anyway, since I'm the oldest one in here, no reason to panic. He knows everything. And especially people that have challenges. You know, Britta's got the challenge. I mean, she's got people living in her house. She's got a husband that's going through it really bad. I know he has some fear about what's going to happen to him. Is he going to get a kidney? Is he not? Is he going to even make the other day, you know, well, if I die, I die. No. We're not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to make the best of what is today. Jim, he's blind. He has accomplished so much. He's very, very smart, which just irritates me to death. I mean, he knows everything about computers. So does Pastor. I mean, they're so smart. I go, yeah. I thought making straight A's in high school was good, but nope, not to them. Leanne's making A's in college, you know, and I'm like, oh, wow. Shelly has such an insight on how her life has changed. She's got such a wonderful testimony from doing things that was sin to going to prison and learning that life and coming out and honoring God. So whatever it is, number one, whatever you have done in your past, God will forgive you. You go, no, I've done too much. I killed that baby. No, he will never forgive me. I'll never forget it. I was so despondent, and I went to the church that we were going to, and my mother went that night, because it was like a revival, and this guy used to be with, I can't even think their names, which is probably good, Rick somebody in Houston, and they were prophets, and they went around to different churches and gave their testimony. I mean, they were great people of God. And the one came and he started walking past me, and then he came back and he looked at me and he goes, look at me. And I went, okay. He goes, what is with you in death? What is it? Why are you wanting to die? And I said, because I killed my baby. And my mother was there and she didn't know. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the biggest lecture ever. And, I mean, because I couldn't get over that. I killed an innocent little baby that it was not its fault at all. And I don't care if I was 2 months along or whatever, that baby's in heaven. That child is in heaven. It wasn't his fault that what I did. I made bad decisions. Constantly I made bad decisions. You know, My first husband cheated on me. He was an alcoholic. He was abusive. Mm. You know, I just thought, this is terrible. And all the things that I went through, being a child, being molested. And I mean, my whole life, it just came to a big, big pimple, as you would think. You know how you can feel, oh, I'm getting a pimple right there, because it's kind of sore, but not all that sore. But it gets bigger and festers, and you think, ooh, I just want to pop it. That's just how I felt. I thought, God, you got to pop this pimple on me. I've got to have freedom. Take the chains off of me, Lord. Take the chains off of my eyes, my heart, my soul. God, I love you. And he went, you are forgiven. Because I asked him to forgive me. He said, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. So whatever you've done, whatever you think about doing, whatever you're going through right now, God is with you. But we can't be little kids anymore. Like when we first got saved, and we would go, oh, Lord, I wish I could get like $50 today. And boy, somebody at church would come up and go, God told me to give you some money. Well, hallelujah, I like this. I like this. Or, ooh, I wish I had this food. And, oh, yeah, I needed baby formula. And I went, oh, God, please, can I have some baby formula? And the pastor's wife had brought diapers, baby formula, all this stuff on it. She just knocked on the door and left. And I went, oh, this is cool. You ask him what you want, he gives it to you. I thought, this was great. And then the more mature, the more you read the word, the more you do what you think God wants you to do. I mean, your desire should meet up with God. Whatever you desire should align with what God wants. That's where we get messed up. That's where we get messed up. Because we think we know what we need and want, and God's going, you're so far off base, it's not funny. But, you know, that's just how it is. Our needs, our desires, our prayers should align with the Word of God. You can't justify your sin. You know, I can't help that I did that. I had two babies. I just got divorced. Made bad choices with this person. He wasn't there for me. He left, and here I am. I don't want to lose my job. I just started working after I don't know how many years, and I said, I just can't do it. So you go in and you talk to a counselor. Well, how do you feel about this? Told her my situation. I don't think I can work. I don't think, you know, I don't want to get fired, being pregnant, have to take off, and blah, blah, blah. And they go, well, it sounds like you're making the right decision. Okay, I didn't have any Christian people to talk to. So, I went through with it, and it was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. So we've got to love one another in here. We have got to love one another and build each other up every week. Every week. Every day, pray for one another. Pastor, I don't know how he does it all. He works a full-time job. He goes to a Bible study. And I don't know if he's still doing volunteer work for them or not. I don't think so, but it doesn't matter. He's a full-time caregiver. Plus, he is concerned about us, the people of the church. I'm not going to say worry. I know sometimes he's probably worried about me, like, oh my gosh, what is she doing now? But you know what I mean. So all of that on top of there, and then coming up to church every Sunday, it's not give the pastor a pat on the back today, pastor, but it's close. All the things that he's going through, he has all of that on him. And I know that man has to get frustrated at times. I know, because taking care of Dawn and Anna Ruth both at times, and then taking care of Anna Ruth, taking care of my parents, taking care of my grandmother. I mean, and I've seen so many people die. I've been there when they died. And then going, taking little Josue with me to the hospital almost every day to see my sister that had brain cancer. I know how all of this just eats on you. It makes you miserable. It makes you helpless. And once we feel helpless, what else is going to come in? The devil's going to say, well, you know what? You're not worthy. You have done so many bad things. God's not. You're not good enough to go to God. Oh, yeah, I am. You know why, devil? Because Jesus died on the cross for me. He took my sin. He took my sin. And it's hard to believe that he knows me personally and he has taken all my sin. So when you sin, ask for forgiveness, repent, and get on down the road. If you're struggling, if you say, hey, pastor calls me out and go, hey, you better start praying right now because I'm just overloaded. I'm on overload. Sure, I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you right now. Or Brenda, if she's, oh, you know, I'm hurting, I've got the stuff going on at home, and I've got to drive the bus, and da-da-da, call. Go, will you please pray with me? Sure, I'll pray with you right now on the phone. Or I'll pray for you later if it makes you feel uncomfortable. That's one thing that God wants us all to do, I believe, is to pray for people out loud. You go, well, I'm so shy. No, no. You've got all the courage you need to say a prayer for someone. You have, God gave you all the courage. We're all in this together. We're the army. There is only six of us today, but that's okay because we're two or more are gathered. Guess what?
He's in the midst.
God is in the midst. Thank you, God, for being here. Father God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for accepting us right where we were in our sin, and you took it all away. And that we can be righteous. We are righteous. Holy Spirit, please just bless your people today. Please just fill them with warmth and joy and peace. And please help us as Bartimaeus Church that we can start edifying one another, building each other up, trying to help one another, be there for one another. As we can do that when we leave this church, we can go out in the public and help somebody else. And pay it forward, God. Pay it forward. I want to be able to help people. I want to pray for them. I want to do what you want me to do, Father. I do. And I love you so much. May you get all the glory today for the singing. May you get all the glory during the pastor's sermon. Father God, maybe somebody today watching on Facebook Live, they go, you know what? I feel funny inside. I really think I need to get saved. Please, Lord, let your people get saved today. Bring them unto your bosom and hold them and hug them. Father, more than anything, I want to make you Savior of my life, every part of my life. Every part of my life. And Lord, I hope that's what we all want. And may our desires and prayers today, Lord, align with you. We love you. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you that even though we're small, we still have the commitment and faith to know that you're going to do wonderful things in this church. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.